Save the Stub.
Hello and welcome back to the Save the Stub podcast. It's been a bit of a hiatus, but it's good to be back and talking film and TV. I am joined by Will Foster and Harry Osborne. How are you doing, Will?
I am fantastic. It feels very, very good to be back.
How about you, Harry? You happy to be here?
Yeah. I wish we were here about 3 weeks ago, but yeah.
Well, we've all seen the film, and we're all excited to talk about it.
Yeah, we've all seen the film now, so no delays.
Well, we'll start with the news. We'll have a look at, you know, some Hollywood foreign press getting into a bit of beef, the thought of cinemas reopening, and then hit the mailbag for some questions about films that have scarred us, some of our favourite sports films, before getting into the review for the film of the week, which is Riz Ahmed in Sound of Metal. Let's get into it.
So after a long delayed news period, we're not going to do the Oscars because, I mean, like, what's the point? But I would say more interesting. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association are back in the shit. And everyone's boycotting the Golden Globes, which is funny. So there's been a lot of comments. Tom Cruise has given his Golden Globes back, our resident Scientologist. So, you know, if he's doing it, he's probably a good barometer of how the general public feel. Scarlett Johansson said that they kept asking her sexist questions and stuff in interviews and press junkets, which is a bit weird. And Netflix, Amazon, some other companies have all started boycotting the awards altogether, said they won't turn up, won't participate. Yeah, it's not great for them.
It's weird they for this had... all to come out after the Golden Globes.
Like, yeah, I think it's going to so say, we've just had them, haven't we?
I think it's because of this next bit. So the Hollywood Foreign Press have just begun to implicate, that's not right.
Implement,
some reforms to their people of colour numbers, is what their press release said. as well as restricting the number of gifts you can get whilst working for them. Which is literally just them saying, we're going to make it harder for you to bribe us for awards. I mean,
I also was unaware of that, so I feel like you bring it up in a press release. It's like, oh, I didn't know you were awful in that way.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Nice. I just sort of assume you tried judging something impartially, seeing as you're already getting paid through the nose to watch films, but there you go.
How much gift-giving would normally take?
I honestly don't. I wouldn't be surprised if it's tons. Because you look at some of the nominations, like Al Pacino got nominated for Hunters last year. And Hunters is like a really middle-of-the-road Amazon Prime show about, I think it's Jewish descendants killing Nazis.
I see that's one of those things that I see ads for all the time, but I've never actually watched it.
Because Amazon's going to shove it down your throat. And Al Pacino's barely in it, and when he is, he's not really acting. So
I feel like it's just another reason to not care about film awards. That's like, it's not even we're going to cut out giving gifts to people. It's just we're going to reduce the amount of like bribes we give, essentially.
It's so ridiculous. What kind of gifts do they give as well? It's like a sports team. Like, what do they do? Give them a signed T-shirt of everyone in the film or something?
I think, like, you know, they'll do things like, oh, you get a trip here, or, oh, that's a very nice car that's arrived on your drive with the keys left in the ignition. Or I don't know. I'm speculating. Can I get done for that? I don't know.
It's fully just not even film-related, is it, probably?
No, it's bollocks. And I don't really care, because the Hollywood Foreign Press do sound a bit rubbish. Golden Globes weren't entertaining.
Well, we've talked about them before, haven't we?
We have, yeah, and we spoke about how badly their viewership was down 60%. So that's not great.
Who cares?
And the Oscars viewership was down, obviously, and so was the BAFTAs. And I'll go down even more because of Noel Clarke.
Yikes.
Yes, yikes. But I wouldn't be sad if the Golden Globes dropped off. It was, I mean, what purpose does it serve if you're getting bribed? Mind you, having said all of this, the Oscars definitely operate in a similar way.
Oh, mate, I'm sure they all do.
Yeah. But obviously this is the one that's the punching bag at the moment, because they really not shout themselves in glory, have they? But, I mean, are we sad that they're going?
No. Maybe we should start our own awards. Maybe we should Phoenix.
I think, Will, we will be doing our own awards at some point this year.
Oh,
the Stubs.
That's exciting.
We've only seen 8 films, and that does make it tricky.
Could hand out Stubbies.
Thing is, the Stubbies are our fans, so we can't hand them out.
We can't hand out Stubbies. We can hand Stublomas. No, that sounds a bit like a cancerous tumour, doesn't it?
Oh my god.
a Stubby.
What?
A
Saviour Award.
A Stabutio.
Yeah, an honorary stub.
A stub.
A stub.
Have a stub. A golden, okay, a golden stub.
Golden stub. Not Willy Plonker, mate.
Oh, nice.
Awful.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy with it, to be honest. No, we will think of a proper name for the award. Please do send in names for the award, because you'll probably get one. Yeah. The next bit, I mean, to be honest, there's film news coming out, but it's all sort of dead, and it's all sort of the same thing. You know, it's films being announced, whatever. I am more excited that cinema's coming back open.
Yes, now, yeah.
Now, I think Rory and I are going to go watch something in the coming weeks. Is that a plan?
Yeah, we won't invite Will, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm
Will's in Liverpool, and also, if he wasn't, he still wouldn't come. And there's an interesting selection. I'd almost like people to pick for us what we go and watch.
That would be rogue, especially since we're, like, spending our money depending on what the stubbies tell us to do.
Oh, no, sorry, I meant from, like, a very... Like, I wouldn't be, like...
Send us to see anything.
Yeah, like a PG film or something. Just, you know, something for kids, like the Croods. I'm not seeing that.
I mean,
we could give them a few options, surely.
But, so, the ones I'd written down that I know are being shown in a cinema near me that isn't as overpriced as the Odeon... are Judas and the Black Messiah, which I do want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Spiral, which I also want to watch. That's the Chris Rock Saw reboot.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
which
yeah,
normally I'd say no, but I actually thought the trailer looked quite good, and it does feel like a bit of a fresh start, although it probably will be bad.
Does Saw need a fresh start? Sorry.
I think they sort of got to a point where it was like, let's just do torture porn for the sake of it. I think the idea is they're actually going for like a story-orientated film.
I always quite liked the story of Saw. Like, once you start... They put a lot of, like, lore into it.
Oh, yeah, and the original one was, like a good story. Like, yeah. It's got some holes, don't get me wrong, but it was made by two guys in their spare time. Like, I don't really care if it's got holes.
Mm.
And then the other two that I wrote down were Godzilla vs. Kong, which are both big
animals. I weirdly quite liked the trailer, but I also... Maybe I didn't. I watched it and I was like, maybe this would be good, but... I hadn't seen any of the other. There are other films like it, aren't there? Because it's the new Godzilla.
Yes.
And I never saw
that
with Bryan Cranston.
Is it Warner Brothers who make it? Or. It I can't
seems
remember.
Like one of their kind of.
But
films,
it's right? They're building a new universe. As in, like, you've got Marvel, you've got DC, and they're so basic. They're calling it the Monster Universe, like Triad. Come on. But it's those two. What other ones are in it?
This is what we wanted, though, right? We wanted a new kind of.
A new anything.
No, I didn't. Everything I write is about not having sequels. But yeah.
It'll be interesting to see the. Is it Judas Priest and the Black Messiah? Is that Chab?
No, it's just Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh, okay.
Judas Priest is a rock band.
That is a. Yeah.
They're a good rock band. But yeah, Judas and the Black Messiah. That's the one film on the list.
Is that the Chadwick Boseman one, or is that Daniel Kaluuya?
That's Daniel Kaluuya.
Which, what's the Chadwick Boseman one with the band?
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
That's it. Okay, which I feel like I should see that because I feel like I haven't seen enough Chadwick Boseman films, and I know he's passed
did
away.
Did he get a nomination for that?
Exactly, so I kind of owe it. I feel like I owe it to him to like.
He didn't know you.
Nah, I know, but like you know, I look back and I'm like, oh yeah, Black Panther like defined him, whereas I feel like that's not really the case, and I need to like put some effort in to get to the point where I don't see
that
as
yeah,
being
that's
the
fair
case.
Enough.
Yeah.
And then the last film I had written down was Mortal Kombat, because at the time of me writing that, people were pretty excited for it. However, the reviews have just ended up being, yes, yeah, you know, a mediocre fighting film.
Well, if it's mediocre, to be fair, it would be a lot better than the last one.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Was released, so.
But yeah, that'll be exciting. I've not been to cinema in more than a week, so it's quite a long time. And I would go watch something, to be fair. So, yeah, we'll see. We might ask people what to watch. I think that could be an interesting social experiment.
I still think we do an Instagram Live of the whole event. Make it into some massive deal.
What, like a South Korean pirate of a film?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about while we're in the screen.
Oh, right, oh.
Jeez.
You want to do it whilst we're just walking around the cinema?
Yeah, no, as we leave it, we're like, wow, live reaction to what that film was.
Oh, we could do that. Do that in the car.
Quite a good live, though, to be fair, to try.
Stubbies would eat it up, I'm telling you.
And get kicked out straight away.
Yeah, they might do, yeah. But that's pretty much as far as the news goes this week. I mean, there's so much stuff about people getting cast in this, that, and the other films going into production, but it's almost a moot point at the moment because everything is just starting again.
We've discussed Knives Out, but I have no idea what kind of role Dave Bautista is going to be in the next Knives Out sequel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna...
whatever. I feel like we need a bit more of like either not a trailer or like a teaser or more information before we can start discussing those.
Yeah, I mean, that film's so far out, you know, that won't be, we won't see anything about that for another year.
Yeah, exactly.
We shouldn't do anyway.
But, you know, I guess 400 million or whatever buys you good actors.
Yes, it buys you some people. So, we'll see. We'll see that. But that is pretty much the end of the news.
All right, on to the questions, although two of them out of four are not even questions. So let's start with those. Mummo3Kids, big follower of the channel. She said, no question, but I'm very much looking forward to hearing it.
Rory, you've got to stop your mum from messaging
no
it.
No question.
Mate. That's actually too much.
Two exclamation marks as well.
Mrs. McNair is too keen.
Wow, don't try and deflect this, Harry.
You're right.
Massive we'll, shout out to Mummo3Kids, the
we'll
original
stop your mum.
Stub Queen.
that's from day one. So not on.
Stub Queen.
You calling her that is weird.
Stub Queen. Oh, that's horrible.
That's okay. Creepy.
And the second one, Making Changes Jazz. Where did you all go? Because my drive to work has been very boring. How endearing. Someone actually listens to the podcast.
Yeah, cringe.
The stubbies are out there, I'm telling you. The more they engage,
oh,
the more inspired
stubborn.
We are.
No doubt.
This, you know, this little break, it's kind of been, you know, a little bit of a tease, you know, see who's actually in it for the long game.
Exactly, yeah. I think we're bringing out the real stubbies, and we're, I'm sorry that we've had this hiatus, but I'm so excited to bring you more content.
Yeah, I'm not sorry, obviously, because it wasn't my choice. I watched the film immediately. but yeah.
Well, I've moved back up to Liverpool, and it's taken a few weeks to settle in. So
don't
that's
to drive
don't
up.
Give them your address.
You walk.
Will.
Yeah.
But we are back. We're regular now. We're back,
baby.
All right. So the first proper question we've had. I really like this one, actually. What film or TV show emotionally scarred you as a child?
Straight away, Watership Down.
Ooh, that's like a emotional and like quite a sentimental level as well.
Oh, no, not emotionally. That thing is a fucking horror film. Have you seen it?
I don't think I've seen the film, no.
Oh my god. Look up the animated Watership Down. Look it up on YouTube
it's
right
rabbits,
now.
It's rabbits, isn't it?
It is one of the most horrible, horrible things you'll ever see. I'm not even playing about. Watch it right now.
I'm getting it up. I'm getting
and
up.
I want to listen to your live reaction. I'm not even playing.
Watership
Rory,
Down
get it.
Like quite a
Will,
sentimental
Will, share your screen.
Book for
I'm
children,
telling you, share
it?
Your screen and show Rory this. No, Rory, you're going to watch it at the same time as well.
Okay.
All Rory, right. Stop looking it up.
So you want Watership Down.
Watership
oh,
Down.
I don't know. Him sharing
like,
screens.
If you search on
bit.
YouTube, I'm
oh
sure you can get like the
God.
Violent bits. I've no, just... Rory, stop ruining it. I'm not. That's not even a bad bit.
I mean, it's
so.
Has he got rabies?
People don't know. It's about. It's just a story about rabbits like relocating, isn't it? That's literally the story.
This looks messed up.
Here we go.
But Rory, here we go. Honestly, oh
that?
My God, this is actually getting to me. Violent.
Watership
look at that.
Down
3 minutes long. I'm not playing. This thing's horrible.
When's it from? Like pre-millennium?
I want to say like the 90s. Maybe it's even older than that. I actually don't know.
One of the
one
bloodiest,
of the
most graphic films.
I'll look it up. I'll see when it was. That's ever been rated a U. So this is for all ages. It's from 1978. It's got John
oh
Hurt in it as well.
Why has this bunny got a black eye? Oh my...
I'm telling you as well, with the sound and
what?
This is for kids. This is for 3-year-olds.
These bunnies be brawling.
I'm not being
that's,
funny.
That's a dog ripping open a bunny rabbit.
This can't
have
been
a cat?
Rated
that
U.
That cat looks like a weird hyena. I like... The, oh my. Okay, I can... Oh.
I am telling you, this... That's flies laying eggs inside a rabbit. And then rabbit souls trying to escape.
What?
You can stop it now because you've got the idea.
Who made
do you
this?
See what I mean?
That's
that isn't that
messed
horrible.
Up, dude.
That's for kids.
Yikes.
So when I saw
you,
that
what
when
age
I was like
did you watch
5
that?
On BBC Ooh. 2. And I was... Yeah.
Scarred.
That was heavy.
It looks scarring. I mean...
1978.
I think that's the thing with animated films, though. Like, if you get an animated film that has, like, a smidgen of violence onwards, it can really mess with you, because it's like, you, it sticks with you, and you're like, oh my god, this film, like, showed me. It was supposed to be friendly and for children, but it just...
Yeah, that would be my immediate one. I can't think of anything else, but that proper tweaked me out.
Well, the reason why I like this question is because I actually have an answer.
Oh, here we go. Go on then, Will.
Like, very, very distinctly remember my younger sister watching Snow White, the Disney version, the cartoon.
And the Seven Dwarfs.
The original. Yeah, and the witch in it. There's a scene where the witch is kind of going down a cliffside or something, trying to chase down Snow White, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Anyway, I was terrified of that film. And I don't think I watched it again until I was about 10 years old, because it was horrific.
Mm. I mean, it's not rabbits, though, is it? Do you know what I mean?
No, it's not quite what I've just witnessed, but it just stuck with me.
The only other one I can think of as well, I don't know if you two used to watch Doctor Who.
Hmm.
I've seen a few.
The Gas Mask Kids. Or The Angels, I didn't think were that bad, but people really...
I'd say that's scary, but it's not scarring. Like, that's scary, but you know why it's scary.
Oh, the gas mask kids stopped me from watching the show.
Scarring things is like, it just affects you in quite a different way. It's like, you're never going to forget that. Whereas The Angels, I'm like, you close your eyes and they get a bit closer. Like, it's scary when you watch it. It's scary when you watch it. I don't disagree with that.
I wish you were the Doctor, bro. They move a bit closer. Ooh.
I've got quite a few films that scarred me.
Because we've got a couple of Doctor Who listeners who are actually going to take issue with what you've just said there.
Oh, come on. Ed will forgive me.
Oh my god, you can't name them.
So when I was like, I feel like the first animated film that scarred me was the Goofy movie. Have either of you seen the Goofy movie?
Goofy, isn't that where he gets like depressed?
He's like, I honestly can't remember what happens in it, but there are some very dark scenes. Dark,
literally. Doesn't he just start drinking or something as well?
I don't know what Goofy does, but it's like, it's already pretty messed up. He's already a bit of a weird guy. You can't really hear what he's saying.
What were these animators doing, like, 20 years ago? Just having a
Anyway, the next one. Lord of the Rings. Have you guys both seen Lord of the Rings? I'd be pretty inexcusable.
I haven't.
Oh, what? You've honestly not? Well.
I've honestly not.
Anyway,
what
there
are
two...
You're at kissing girls instead.
Two quite similar scenes in the series. One with Bilbo Baggins, the other with Galadriel, the elven lady. They both, like, go from being normal people just talking to being weirdly possessed, like, yelling at the other characters. I'm sure people can look up and see Galadriel in Lord of the Rings, like, going all spooky, but that messed with me at a young age.
I can't spell Galadriel, so I can't Google it.
And then the last one was when my dad made me watch a film called Hollow Man, which has...
That is a horror film, though.
Willem Dafoe essentially gets the power of being invisible, and he like does some awful things, and yeah.
Okay, that doesn't sound like a kids' film.
Yeah,
yeah. Scarring.
Hollow Man.
Those
Kevin
are
Bacon.
With you, Rory.
Yeah, you know.
Wait. Do you mean Willem Dafoe or Kevin Bacon?
Oh, it's Kevin Bacon, isn't it? It's not Willem Dafoe.
And then Christian Slater's in the sequel.
I think Christian Slater's the good guy in it.
Is it? I mean, it's not got great reviews, I'll be honest. It's got a 24 on Metascore. That's quite funny.
Mm.
Josh Brolin's in it. Hmm.
Hmm.
Yes.
Anyway, on with the questions.
But yeah, okay. Yeah.
Sorry, that's my bad. Should have
got too excited about the question, didn't you? You actually had an answer for it.
I know. Second question. Simple one. What are the best sports films you've ever seen?
Hmm. Moneyball is good.
Moneyball's good. It's a thinker, though. It's not like you don't watch it for the sport. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, see, I don't know. Because I think...
Oh, baseball's boring
anyway,
so that makes sense.
To begin with,
yeah.
I agree. But then when it gets towards them like winning those games in a row...
Mm.
The only other one I'd say as well is... I think it's called Undefeated.
Is this the American football one?
Yeah, a documentary that won best documentary at the Oscars, sorry, back in like 2006 or something, and it's about a very low income college, like really budget football team doing quite well because they get this coach who just loves teaching. And that's a really good documentary. Thoroughly recommend.
The sports
that.
One I always go back to is Coach Carter. I feel like it's got a lot of... Are you not a fan? Come on, Harry.
I just didn't care. It's like The Blind Side.
They're very different. The Blind Side's like way too emotional and like trying
to
tell a personal
story. Someone
told me
the plot to Blind Side was that the guy and Sandra Bullock get together at the end of the film.
That's so bad.
And I thought that was weird considering how it started when I first watched it. I was thinking, ah, that's surely not. Michael Ower.
What about you, Will? Have you got a favourite sports film?
I feel like I've not. The extent of my sports film viewership has been like Bend It Like Beckham, which was awful.
What about Everton Till I Die, season highlights 2006-2017?
No, absolutely not. Although there was actually a documentary on Sky about Howard Kendall, which is quite a big Everton figure that I watched, which was quite big.
I think that's breaking into many top 10s.
All right, Stubbies, go check out that Everton documentary on Sky.
Well, that, have Sky you two seen Green Street Hooligans?
I've heard about it, and I haven't seen it.
That's on Netflix, isn't it? It is
horrendous. Like, Elijah Wood as an English football thug. Like, Frodo punching people in the street because West Ham. It just doesn't make any sense.
Have either of you seen that Senna film?
I still haven't seen Senna. I've seen Rush, but I haven't seen Senna.
Yes, I've seen Rush.
Rush is supposed to be quite good as well, isn't it?
I think it was good up until... One of my main things with sports films, and this is actually a good point, and it's the same issue I've got with Invictus.
A good point, no way.
All right, mate, if you don't want me to make the point, I won't make the point. If you're going to do a sports film, make it look like they can actually play the sport.
It's the hardest part of sports.
Invictus... Right? They literally should have just got some actual rugby players. They are passing the ball, and they look the most mal-coordinated people. I'm thinking, you're playing for the World Cup. And it looks like a Mitchell and Webb sketch for when they play cricket. Or Rush. Obviously, it's fine when they're all just walking around or whatever, and then it goes to the driving, and it's so CG, it looks like a video game.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And it spoils the immersion for me. I'd rather you had, like a helmet cam, so I'm just driving around a circuit.
It's tough with stuff like Rush, because it's like... They don't really want to admit it's a documentary because it's like presented like not fiction. I don't know how to describe it. Like it's a true story, but it's in its own like
it's
like,
very
universe.
Produced.
Yeah, so they can't like it would be good if they put kind of real footage from the races, but you can't break that kind of barrier of reality. Not in that way.
And it's clearly not something that's improved because. Le Mans 66 or Ford vs Ferrari or whatever the title is now came out what last year the year before and that had the same issue of some of the car stuff just didn't look right once they got into high speed because it's borderline impossible to film and even if they could film it it'd be so expensive that it's easier to just do it in post but that's my big thing. I think when you the chance you have to break immersion is when you get them to actually play the sport and it's such I think it's something you could improve on so easily just by getting some people to play the extras who look a bit more competent. You know, you use body doubles and stunt actors for everything else. You know, all the fight scenes, all the high-speed chases, you can use them for sports films, and it will make your film better.
Yeah, I wonder why they don't do that.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. Because it was things in Invictus. You couldn't even see their faces. And even if you could, you can, you know, morph them on, or whatever it's called, blend them on in post. And yet they just didn't bother. They just got these random like big guys who were acting in the film to play out the role. And I just thought you could go to any South African secondary school in the country, and you'd be able to get a first team of big blokes who know how to play the sport. But there you go. I don't know. Just a weird one for me.
There'll be a good reason, Harry. Of course there will be.
No,
these people
won't.
Are so intelligent.
People are idiots.
Right. Last question then for this week. If a biopic was made about your life. Would you want it to be a film or a mini-series?
Ooh. Are we talking about life today, or are we talking about, like, once I'm dead? Well, I want to
That's a good point. Why don't we do one for life up to present?
Okay.
Although, what have we done? Like, what...
Man, I've got loads going
loads
on.
Of stuff, yeah. What are you talking about?
I have 3 points
I can't wait to tell my story.
Go on, then. Go on, then, Rory. What life up to today, what are you going for?
Oh, I think it'd be a mini series. People love mini series nowadays, you know.
What would be the title?
That's a whole other question, isn't it? I'll think about that while you're telling me yours. But no, I'd go with a miniseries. I think films, I don't know, if you get bored of a film, you either get to the end and you're like, oh, that was awful, or you just give up halfway through. A miniseries, you have to commit to the whole thing. And unless the last episode is crap, then you're like, nah, I think if your last episode's good, you'll leave a good impression.
Yeah, I mean,
you violently disagree with me, Harry.
No, I have just nothing to contribute in terms of my life would not make an hour worth of footage. Is that a depressing thing to say that yourself at 20?
So yours wouldn't be a film or a miniseries?
I think mine would be an animated short.
Pixar.
Your life would be Soul. Go back and listen to episode one. And that would be Harry's life.
Wait, you think my life would be about a dead person?
Yeah. You would have died before you got your chance to...
What interesting things have I actually done?
You did NCS, to be fair, before uni. That was pretty...
That's so mad that you say that. I saw someone who did that with me today. The first time I've seen them since that. At BuzzFeed Rec. Wow. Isn't that crazy? We can cut this shit out because it's awful.
We're not cutting it out. This is the best content we've made.
This is what people want to know.
Yeah.
All right, Harry's given an awful answer. Will, what would you have? A film or a miniseries?
I would agree with you. I think miniseries at the moment is the way to go. Like, it gives you more flexibility with pacing and stuff and how long each episode could be.
But have we seen any, like, biopics that are miniseries? Like...
have we seen any that are this boring?
Oh, maybe we'll have a miniseries about the three of us, like three separate stories that, you know, intertwine, and they start a podcast, and that's the end of the miniseries.
Oh, that, I like that.
And it could just be called
Saving the Stuff. I've still not got enough for an episode, though, geez. I've got nothing going. What, so it's just me watching films all day?
Yeah, that can be your episode.
Just like a little indoor neek.
I mean,
and then you've got Will out there living his life.
I got stuff.
Alright, mate.
Tell us one stuff
you've
got.
Yeah, tell us one thing you got going on.
Mainly involves playing the trumpet, but...
Whoa!
There we go.
Can't wait for that biopic.
That was my life. Hot getting rejected bones. From a B team footballer. That was fun.
And by girls.
True story.
Brutal. True story. Oh,
no,
mate.
I think genuinely we would have to wait. We'd probably have to do a whole life here.
Yeah, give me 7 years. I'll have a bloody good story to tell you.
You're going to die in 7 years.
I'll have done some stuff with data that you couldn't even dream of.
I'm not going to look at some stupid infographic in the middle of this film.
Stupid infographic. We, no, it's like a business. It's like not Wolf of Wall Street. Wall Street. No, Money Never Sleeps with Gordon Gekko.
Wall Street. What's Wall Street? Yeah.
What's that film called?
It's called Wall Street. Yeah.
So the sequel is called Wall Street Money Never Sleeps. And I'm like Shia LaBeouf. I've just entered into that world.
That film wasn't great.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
All right. Anyways, I think that's enough questions for this week.
A thrilling end to the mailbag. Yeah, don't baby. Watch Wall Street 2. Film of the week. Right, this week we are reviewing Sound of Metal, directed by Darius Marder. It is about essentially a drummer who goes deaf. We've been waiting a long time to watch this film. It's been in all the award ceremonies, but it was premiered in September 2019. So, you know, a year and a half. Let's get some early reactions. Will, what did you make of Sound of Metal?
It grew on me. I didn't particularly like the start of the film. But I think the longer I watched it, the more I ended up enjoying it. I do have to say, about an hour in, the internet at my student flat cut out for about half an hour. So it kind of got to a pivotal moment in the film where things start to change. And then all of a sudden, nothing for like an hour. So I think that disrupted my viewing a little bit. But after that, I think because I wanted to finish it, I was more invested, to be fair. So I didn't end up vaguely enjoying it, shall we?
Well, you don't sound thrilled. Harry, give me your thoughts.
I thought it was the best film we've watched so far. I thought it was excellent.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't one that's plot driven or acting driven or anything like that, but I just thought the pathos.
Ooh, acting driven, surely. Not acting in the literal sense, but. Well, no, sorry, acting in the literal sense, not acting in the speaking sense.
it's acting driven in the terms that it's the sum of all its parts. It's not one where I think, wow, this performance made it. There are a couple that I think are really good, which we'll talk about in a bit, but I actually just thought it was a really sound soundly made film that I did just enjoy. Yeah,
I completely agree with you. I thought it was excellent, and I like it's quite reassuring that it had all these award kind of rumblings, and that was actually true. Like it was actually like had a, for a good reason. Shall we start discussion off with the acting then? You brought it up mainly. So who stood out to you in the film?
So Riz Ahmed obviously got all the. I've said his name every single podcast we've done so far, and he was good. Riz Ahmed is a good actor. You know, definitely one to look out for. He's going to keep getting big roles. I mean, is he in the new Venom
film? What's he been in, like, up to date, to be fair?
So, Four Lions
kicked off his career, I think. That was, like, a film for creation about these, like, domestic terrorists, but had a very jokey tone. It's a really good film, very quotable.
And being a British actor, he's done a lot of British projects. But he's had some big ones, you know. He was in Nightcrawler, was probably his Hollywood.
Probably his American breakout, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And he's really. Have you seen Nightcrawler, Will?
Yes. Yeah, I watched it on the back of your recommendation.
Yeah. And I can't remember if you said you liked it or not.
Yeah, I did, actually. I was very tired.
You know
who
he is. He's his assistant.
Yeah.
I thought he showed some good range. This is a very brief point. He showed some good range in Nightcrawler because all of his roles, he's like. Not the main man, but he's normally quite a level headed person who's like in charge. And then Nightcrawler, he was very much like this kid who needed a chance to do something. And he was quite vulnerable, which I thought was quite cool. But yeah, I agree. He had a really good performance in Sound of Metal.
But you know, he's got some big credits since then. You know, Sisters, Brothers, Venom. He was in the Star Wars film, whichever one that was, Rogue One. Mogul Mowgli, it was supposed to be actually quite good earlier last year. And Sound of Metal. And he was good. So, you know, full credit to him, but I actually think the standout for me was, I don't know how you pronounce his surname. I want to say Paul Raci.
Yeah, I'd say Raci, but I have no idea.
It's this ponytail, man.
It is.
Yeah. It is, yeah. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. So he is, it's interesting because I think the backstory is almost as important as his role. So he is an actual deaf actor.
He's the hearing son of deaf parents.
But he is deaf as well.
No.
What? He's in a deaf band.
From what I read, he can hear, but his parents were both deaf.
But he's in a deaf heavy metal band.
No, he's the hearing son of deaf parents.
No, but he's in a deaf heavy metal band.
Well,
he's a fraud.
He's cheating.
Oh
there.
No!
Unless Wikipedia's lying to me, but I mean.
Hold on, maybe I lied when I read this. Did I just ignore what I'd read? We do really thorough research in this show, and that's a very important thing to note at this point in time.
Integrity.
A member of Deaf West Theatre in Los Angeles. He's also the lead singer of Black Sabbath tribute band Hands of Doom, ASL
Rock.
Oh, mate,
did I just assume?
A band. Thing is, because he speaks so well, I think I'm not.
That's why I was confused.
See, it's a question I had throughout the film. Like, can deaf people, if they could speak at some point, do you lose your ability to speak?
So apparently you lose the ability to form the words as well as you used to because you can't hear how you sound.
Yeah.
So I did an ASL thing at school once. And she, the woman who was running it...
American Sign Language.
Why are you doing American Sign Language here?
Isn't that just sort of...
British Sign Language is like the British one. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked.
But...
We do have our own.
Languages of sign
language.
It is bloody
dumb.
Done that. That's bloody inconsiderate.
I don't know.
Anyway, before you cut me short... She could speak, but her words were very like rounded, like she didn't form sharp notes at the end or start of words because she couldn't hear herself for feedback, is what she told us at the start.
Yeah.
So they can speak, but obviously I think it diminishes over time.
So I guess that supports the fact that this guy can probably hear them.
Yeah, okay, it makes sense. In which case, I'm reading the thing that I read, and I might have just read it wrong because I saw the words ASL and then rock band.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think the deafness, like, obviously it's central to the plot, but I think it created such a good challenge for the people behind this film, and I think they delivered it really well. I think, like, the acting of Riz Ahmed to kind of you really felt as the viewer that you were going through his struggle of not being able to understand things, the way they played with the sound, the editing. And he demonstrated it really well in the way he reacted to things, because obviously you feel his struggle, his frustration. I feel like that's quite hard to communicate. Like, being told for a day, like, pretend you're deaf and you can't react to stuff would be really difficult. And he clearly put a lot of effort into it. But I agree in that the other roles in the film really contributed to it being such a good film. I think Olivia Cook as his girlfriend, if she'd had more screen time, she would have been my favourite performance in the film. But I think because she kind of went away for quite a while, like you mentioned, Joe, Paul Ratchie, I think he, yeah, certainly elevated the film.
And also, like, Riz Ahmed is not deaf, but he definitely was doing sign language in the film, wasn't he? So
yeah,
he's obviously learned
ASL and was wearing auditory blockers, so essentially just had earplugs in for the whole thing.
Which is pretty, you know, good dedication to a role. And
yeah,
it warranted it. Like, I know what I said, but I would agree that the film was still a good film. Just didn't captivate me as much. And I don't know why.
Looking elsewhere from the acting, what did we make of kind of cinematography, direction, stuff like that? Did that stand out to you, Harry?
I thought it looked really good as well, yeah. I think the middle portion of the film is definitely the strong part for me. I think I understand where the ending's going, you know, they've got to wrap it up. And it does give a definitive conclusion with sort of scope to think about. But very much the middle, I mean, it's no spoiler to say that he then joins a deaf community, because that is essentially the premise of the film, is that he becomes deaf. And that bit for me is definitely the best part. I think it's a lot about sort of finding community regardless of your background, of your sort of way of life, or, you know, financial status, anything like that. And I think that's quite pure, because a lot of the film is filmed without any sort of auditory prompts, apart from what you might hear of just background murmurings of what goes on a scene. And it is interesting to watch, because it's written obviously with the deafness being the central premise. And it's a different watch. You know, that's the thing that I value the most at the moment, is watching something different. And it was different, and it was good. It was well made.
I think they really delivered on that difference in the cinematography. I think some of the shots were so beautiful, and like the colours, again, taking away the sound, the way it kind of played with diegetic and non-diegetic sounds, like what you can hear or what the characters can hear, I thought was really good. And then I think on a large level, plot-wise, it's really interesting comparing this film to Soul, because when it comes to the message of the film, it's like, what do you do with life when it deals you certain things? And I think I just prefer the message you get at the end of this film so much more to the message from Soul, yeah, which was like, do you have a purpose or not? Whereas this one's like, life is frustrating, life deals you awful stuff, and like, where do you find the meaning in that? And it's like with the challenge that Joe presents to Riz Ahmed's character in, like, take a minute to kind of get used to the silence and find the moments that are worth living for. And like, throughout the film, you see him progressing to the point where he can come to terms with that.
Yeah. I think, goes without saying, a large proportion of the film, there aren't, you know, very recognisable sounds or what you would expect from a normal viewing experience. I think that it's testament that the whole film was still captivating, to be fair. Like, it was still very enjoyable, despite not having, at times, really a lot of dialogue. And that leads in, you know, that's from the cinematography, the choice of shot, some of the non-verbal acting that was on the screen.
One of the things that actually I found really refreshing as well was, it's a plot where about halfway through, the typical film trope would be that he finds a new love interest.
Oh, I didn't even think of that, but you mentioning it.
I was sort of concerned when he met the teacher.
Me too.
At the ASL school.
Yep.
And they just don't. There's none of that. And that would have honestly detracted from the quality so aggressively. But the fact that, I'm not going to say new specifics, but the final 20 minutes of the film, the fact that that can all happen is indicative of someone who's thought about a plot from a realistic human perspective, rather than a, what tired old cinema trope can we lob in to keep the the sort of middleman, no, not middleman viewer, that's not fair, the uninvested viewer bothered about my film.
It's like saying, I don't care what the viewer is going to be comfortable with, like, let's stick to these characters and their progression. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, that, I watched this with a friend, and it was like, for most of the film, it was always, I think I know where this is going to, like, where this is going to go in terms of the love interest and stuff, like when he, you know, what happens at the end and stuff. But it was, yeah, refreshingly different. I suppose that's another good point.
It's interesting though. I don't know whether you guys think there are any drawbacks to this film. As I said, I think it's like an outstanding film, but something I felt from the start and wasn't sure in the middle and at the end, I was kind of like, still not sure, is character development. I don't know whether they did enough to kind of give some exposition or background to who this person's like, or who, why he makes the decisions he makes. I think within the kind of timeline of the film, they present it really well, but you don't, I worry that he's kind of typecast as like either an addict or someone interested in like heavy metal music.
And the addict angle is really odd because they don't really bother.
They never
until
expand
he's
on
asked.
It.
And then he says it.
But it's weird, they never expand on it as well. So there's lines like, you're behaving like an addict, or like, they like talk to him about being an addict, like you say. And they never really address it more than that. And I don't know whether that's on purpose. It might be like, he's struggling, like this is the struggle he's gone through, but we're focusing on this part of his story. But I would have liked to kind of get a nicer idea of the context behind his life and his decisions.
I think the reason why I, like I said at the start, I didn't like the beginning of the film that much, probably maybe, what, the first 20 minutes or so? I felt like I was kind of just watching something but not really learning much. It was kind of, okay, he's an on-the-road musician playing with his girlfriend and they kind of travel about a bit. And it wasn't until the scene in the diner where his hearing had already started to go. And they mentioned the guy that mentors him, presumably through his drug addiction.
I think he's like his sponsor, yeah.
Yeah, sponsor, that's the right word. But then we didn't really learn anything more about that person, for example. They could have maybe flashed back, kind of shown us more about Riz Ahmed's character through those flashbacks or something. I felt like the beginning was, yeah, it was setting the scene, but it didn't really engage me very much, which is why it started off poorly.
I think my thing with those sort of things is that the other characters are peripherals. You know, they're not. I think realistically, there's three central characters, and everyone else could almost be, you know, nameless. They're all peripheral to the story itself, and that was the same as in one of my concerns as well was Sound of Metal gives off the impression that you're going to be watching a heavy metal orientated film. Which is not what I wanted. I really didn't want to have to watch a film where some guy bashes drums for an hour and a half, because I think that alienates a good portion of your viewers.
Yeah.
So the fact that sort of ends in the first 20 minutes, I was happy with as well.
It was really weird for me. I think, like, I didn't think about that before, literally before, about 20 seconds before I sat down to watch the film. And as I sat down, I was like, hang on, is this actually just going to be all about heavy metal music? But then at the same time, I think that opening, as you mentioned, that opening 15 minutes of, it's kind of like an oral with an A overload. And I think you need that to kind of juxtapose, such like a pretentious word, but like to kind of contrast the later scenes where they play about with the cinematography and the audio. So I think it works. You just do have to kind of commit yourself and hope that you're going to escape that kind of barrage.
Yeah, I was starting to actually think I didn't want to watch it at all, like with the because I hate metal music. Not gonna lie, I don't understand it.
But you look so like someone who'd love metal music.
I get it as a concept, to be fair, but yeah, it's just not for me. But yeah, it did get a lot better. It did. Can't lie.
Do we dare rate this film?
Yeah. Let's see. Go. I mean, Will, you start us off, because
All right. Straight up, 7.2. I like elements of it. I think this might be one of the few films off the back of the podcast I think I might want to watch again. It may change my rating. But
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it twice now, haven't you?
yeah, I watched it on my own in an evening where I was very tired, and then I watched it the night before we were recording this. But yeah, I think I'd like to give it another chance, maybe view it in a different way than what I had been before.
Rory?
I would go. I'm glad we've kind of put it into a frame now, because that one time we basically said 8+ is like has to be like an outstanding film. And I think this one for me is like an 8.3. I think it really is outstanding. It's new, it's fresh. They took on a massive challenge and they did really well with it. The character development problems outside of the time frame of the film hold it back a little bit for me. I think when you've got a main character whose decisions you find it hard to relate to, you have to at least understand the context behind that character and their decisions, which I didn't quite get enough of in the film. But I think the presentation of everything, the presentation of this new story that I never really would have thought of, really just hit all the marks for me. Yeah, and I loved it. Go on then,
Yeah,
round us
I
off,
mean,
Harry.
it's going to be the first time I've rated the highest out of everyone, I think. So I'm about an 8.4, I'd say. That
Wow.
was I just thought, there's a few issues I've got with it. I mean, upon further reading, a lot of the stuff about how they present deafness apparently is a little bit inaccurate, a little bit of an embellished truth. And it's not perfect. Very few films are Interstellar. But it is an excellent film, and it is something new, and I appreciated it, and I thought it was. So rarely do you see an understated film that I mean, it's probably just because I only see generic shit that gets pumped out through cinemas. But rarely do you see an understated film that I feel like has power without ramming it down your throat with some sort of, harrowing death or big dramatic arc of some description. So yeah, I thought it was a really good film.
It's a Ratatouille trope, guys,
Shut
because
up.
the plot was like very simple, but it was all about kind of like the
Mate,
things other than the
Ratatouille did
plot.
not invent simplistic plots. Ratatouille's not simple. It's about a rat cooking, you fuck. Sorry,
Exactly.
you've ruined this review for me because you just compared this film about a heavy metal drummer losing his hearing to a film about a vermin cooking in France.
You telling me your mind wasn't blown when he put cheese and tomato together and put them in his mouth? It was like the taste
That
explosion.
scene was incredible.
That scene was done by a bloke, by the way, who is blind. He
No
sees
way.
colour. What's it called? I can't remember that.
He's blind, but he sees colour. What?
As in, there's people
Yeah,
who
hang
can't see, but they can see colour. So you know when you close your
Like the
eyes,
Matrix.
you get like spots and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no, tastes colour. Sorry,
Oh, you're
tastes
talking
colour.
about oh, what the hell's that thing called? It's when your
Someone
senses get mixed up and you can like
cross over.
hear
Yeah.
colours or you can see sounds and stuff.
Yeah, it's called
Yeah.
synesthesia. It was done by, I mean, sorry. Screw Ratatouille. Good film. Sound of Metal. Would recommend thoroughly.
100% go and watch Sound of Metal right now, available on Amazon Prime Video.
Maybe not right now. You might be driving.
Well, that brings us to the end of episode 9 of the Save the Stub podcast. It has been great to be back recording and chatting film and TV. Thank you so much to my co-hosts, Will Foster and Harry Osborne. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, guys. It's been a
Yeah.
dream.
Next week for episode 10, we will be looking, well, we'll be keeping on at the kind of award train and looking at
Choo-choo!
Nomadland. It was awarded Best Director. Was it Best Picture as well at the Oscars?
Yeah.
We'll
Many,
confirm that
many
when we do the
awards.
podcast, but it's Chloe Zhao won Best Director
Stick it on
for
the
it, which is very
database.
exciting. It can be watched on Disney Plus if you've got that streaming service and want to watch along with us. But until then, have a great evening
Save
and
the
thank you very
star.
much.
Save the star.